Howdy, lovers of learning. I'm here with your favorite podcast host, Barbara Bray. Hello there, Mom.
Hello, son. Andrew, I'm so happy to be here. I always love when we do that.
I get the biggest smile from you. I know that that's part of the joy of everybody who gets to spend time with you, either on these conversations or when you meet them in person. But I think I'm getting this smile from you, and my cheek hurts when I so, this exciting.
My cheeks don't hurt, but everything else is another story.
For those just chiming in, we just had a little check-in with Barbara Bray's grandson, my son Theo, and just got to laugh and giggle and play for quite a bit too.
Oh yeah, especially he's growing up so fast. I just miss him. He's so darling.
He loves you and G-Pa as well. And everybody, you should know that Barbara Bray's new name is Bob.
Baba. But Theo came up and said to me, "You're Bob now." And then he walked away. And I went, "Oh, okay. I'm Bob."
All right, Bob. So, Bob, tell us about this next conversation.
Oh, I'm going to have a hard time not laughing here. This is Hannah Kemble Mick. Mm-hmm. And Hannah is Jerry Kemble, who was on my show earlier. It's her daughter. And I met Hannah last year, sat with her. And I just fell in love with her. She's a dynamo. I mean, Jerry is a dynamo, but then you meet Hannah and you go, oh my gosh, how can two people in one family be so amazing? And she is. She was school counselor finalist of 2025, of the year, of the whole year. And she everything she does is amazing. And I don't even want to give away some of the things. I'm just going to say the names of them. One's a junior coach program. Another is Paws and Claws. So just have to figure out when it gets there. She tells about it. But the thing she's doing now is AI for school counselors. And she actually wrote a book and I had me review it. Mm. And it's amazing the work that she's doing around AI. I can't even wait to hear when she goes out and tells people how you can use AI as a thought partner and how you do it. She's shared some ideas in this conversation on what to say, what to do with kids, and then how to use it as a prompt and for parents and teachers. It's amazing, especially it's all about, you know, social emotional learning, self-regulation ideas for kids that are having problems. Sometimes you're not sure what to do. So she actually works with people on how to use AI for it. I know, it sounds crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully the next step is leveraging it as the tool. So in order to add depth to our own humanity rather than replace our humanity.
Oh yeah, just wait till you hear her. And when that book comes out, it's going to be, I told her, I'm really excited for it. I know I'm going to write a review for it because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that people need to see is just see that cute smile on her. She's just, she's a darling and she's lovable and she's the one that people are going to keep looking for because every time she does a speech, she's asked back to do a keynote. She's a dynamo. So I'm excited about everyone listening to this conversation.
All right. We got two dynamos in a conversation. Barbara Bray and Hannah Kemble Mick. Let's everybody stay tuned and enjoy the conversation.
I'm so excited. I have someone I was able to hug at FETC, and I have followed for some time. I am just so glad you're here, Hannah Kemble Mick.
Barbara, I am excited to be here with you, and I agree. Hugging you at FETC, creme de la creme, girl.
I'm going to put that picture up. Cause you know what, the selfie. I just loved it. I want people to know you, all the fun things you're doing. I just, every time you share something with me, I go, "You did what? You're doing that?" And I'm just so glad. I mean, I think I met you, was it only last year or the year
before? Yeah, we have only, well, in real life, we've in only real life. Known each other. I mean, we talked a little bit on Zoom prior to that, but
that's right.
I mean, the first time I met you was last year at FETC.
Oh, I know, but that was a great talk.
It was.
I didn't want to end it.
I'm always amazed with all the things that you have done and your life story. Oh my gosh, it's just crazy pants. So
crazy pants to you too. Hannah, I'm old. I've been doing this for some time, but your whole life ahead of you. I can't wait to share. So I'm going to share a little bit about you, boast a little bit in my intro to my audience. Is that okay?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to say your whole name, Hannah Kemble hyphen Mick. Is that right?
That's it. That's me.
And you're a school counselor, but you're also a dean of elementary school counseling at Indian Hills Elementary School in Topeka, Kansas. I think I have that right.
You've got that right. That is on the money.
It's both. That's a lot.
Yeah. So I do. I'm an elementary school counselor, and then I am the dean of elementary school counselors for our district. So I've got two things that I do for my district, but it's all things school counseling. So is it really a job when you love it?
Well, that's true. But you're just making it the best ever.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then you are 2025 School Counselor of the Year finalist.
That has been a wild ride.
And what did they do for that? That's really cool.
Oh my gosh. That is, it's a whole thing. Whew. It's like, well, let's unpack that.
Let's unpack it a little later then.
We can, yeah.
Because this one was cool. You're a therapy dog mom.
I am. I've got a therapy dog, Piper. I haven't really taken her to school much this year, but previous to this year, she would come to school about every other day. And she is very loved by our school community.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
We'll have to put a picture of your dog. What's her name?
Piper.
Piper, you did say that. Oh, I love that. And the one I know about is you're a tech AI consultant and maybe upcoming author, right?
That is true. I like to present on tech AI integration in education and school counseling. But yeah, I am working on my book, just waiting on a few permissions, and then hopefully we can get this rolling.
I know about it.
You do, yes. And You've been very helpful.
Oh, I just love it, though. It's very exciting. So what I always ask my guests is, what is their why? What brings you joy?
Well, there's a lot of things that bring me joy. I love dogs. I love my therapy dog. I have another dog, Pickles.
Oh, that's another Pickles, yeah. And Piper.
I have Piper and Pickles, you know. Maybe the next one will be Patch, and then it can all go in the your Piper picked a patch of pickled peppers.
You have to say that twice, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that twice. I'm surprised it came out once. It was all right.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I also just love connection and learning. Oh my gosh, I love a good podcast and audiobook. I commute, so I just love to learn about anything and everything, most times related to education. I'm very passionate about doing well in my practice, and I always want to see what's the next step for me. But also, you know, I like listening to things that are creative and push your thinking in different ways. And that, I think, kind of leads back to my why in education, I would say. You know, I really want to create a school culture where, you know, students are all seen and creativity can thrive. I think so often creativity is not seen as a superpower. It's just seen as a bonus. You know, math is a superpower. Reading and writing are superpowers, and creativity is just a bonus. But really, if you think about some of the greatest thought leaders of our time, they were all creative in a certain way, right? They all had to think outside of the box. And I really like to push for opportunity that is not just reserved for a few. I want kids to be seen for who they are and have opportunities just like everybody else. Because, you know, growing up, I lived in a rural community and you didn't always have a ton of opportunities. And so it's important for me as an educator to figure out what are ways that I can get more students in my school opportunities and then push that out to other counselors so that they can give their students those same opportunities, if that makes sense.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I live in an urban area and I find that there are not as many resources for them also in some of the kids in, and I live in Oakland, California. And I see the very similarities with the rural communities. Mm-hmm. We may have a lot of things, but we might not have the opportunities to be creative.
Yes.
Because of the way the system was set up.
That's right.
I just love that you're pushing creativity because I'm a creative and a misfit and people didn't know what to do with me. And I'm sure you were like that too, pushing the envelope a little bit, right?
As a kid, I was definitely creative and also like very silly and humorous, but also like I would get my work done. I had good grades. I did the traditional, you know, firstborn child.
I'm firstborn too. So
what people traditionally think of. But I was always seeking opportunities for creativity, even if they weren't available to me. If that all makes sense. Like I think back to third grade, I would write these ridiculous stories about my third grade teacher all the time. And she's my favorite teacher to this day. Mrs. Gerard is her name. But she would just give me time and space to be as creative as I wanted. And in every single one of these books that I, you know, made, she would perish in some way. Like a dinosaur would eat her or aliens would abduct her.
Oh my God.
Some of my educator friends, even now, they'd be like, well, that, you know, if a kid did that, what does this mean? Or, and she just knew I was being humorous. Like she knew it was funny and she let it roll. And my friends and I would kind of create these books together. And she even gave us a space in our classroom library to put them. And those are the things that I remember. You know, I don't remember math worksheets. I don't remember the spelling bee. I don't remember those things. But I remember moments when you were given the opportunity to be creative, and that's what you think back on, and that pushes you forward in some ways. So that's the kind of things that I want to be able to offer to my students at my school as well.
I think because I know your mom and dad.
Yes,
I know your mom's been on my show too, Jerry Kimball. Growing up in that family, I'm just curious what it was like because I know the two of you are real close.
Yes.
But what was it like growing up there?
Well, growing up, my mom was busy a lot. She worked a lot and was going to school a lot. So she has two master's degrees and she has a doctorate where it's all but dissertation. She has everything done but the dissertation. And I don't know if she'll ever finish it. I don't know if now that's even on the bucket list. So growing up, she worked a lot and went to school a lot. So we spent a lot of time with my grandparents who also lived in our same community, which was awesome. So really, I like to say it took six adults to raise my brother and I.
That's cool.
It was very cool. And we had two very, like my grandparents, we had two different vibes. So my dad's parents were very much Susie Homemaker. Grandma is definitely making you cookies. Grandpa is probably going to make you work in the garden and you'll pick beans and trim them and pick corn. You have to do, and we'll help can. And we had to do all of those, you know, cutesy little small town things. And also they were huge servants of the community too. So we, as young kids, we were delivering meals on wheels. So we would go in and we would set the table for the little, you know, elderly peeps, and we would open up their meals and get everything ready. And I remember as a kid, I didn't love having to do that, right? Like you're like, I want to be hanging out with my friends, or it's summertime, I want to be at the pool. But I'm so glad that they pushed us to do that, because you saw, you know, just what an impact the community makes, like when you serve your community. So I loved that aspect of growing up.
Wow. And then my
My other side, my grandpa was the town doctor. And so everyone knew him. He was, you know, oh, you're a doctor. Ulig's granddaughter. Yes, yes. And my grandma, she was kind of like, I mean, everybody knew her too. She did run his office for a while, but then she had a store downtown that was adorable. And so we would do different things with them. So we would go to an art museum or, you know, things of that nature. So you kind of got the best of both worlds. And it was so much fun growing up in a small community. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I think my mom would, but I
what was the community?
It's Harrington, Kansas, teeny tiny town. It has, growing up, it probably had about 2,500 people in it, is crazy because now the district I work in, the high school has more kids in it than my whole town.
Oh, you know? My God.
Isn't that funny? Like, I think about that, I'm like, wow, my whole town could fit in this high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
But to have both sets of grandparents, yes, and the way they were different, and what a well-rounded way to grow up.
It was awesome.
Yeah. What kind of store did your grandmother have? I'm curious.
She just had a cute little boutique, and it had anything in it from, you know, ladies' purses and jewelry to candles and just some home good kind of things. And
oh, how fun.
It was so fun. And then I would, I worked there and I worked at the pool in town. And so a couple jobs growing up. My favorite, though, was working at the pool. I love that. I loved hanging with the kids and, getting a tan. Come on. Oh. You can't beat that. But it was fun. It was a good time.
Were you a lifeguard or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big
swimmer growing up. I swam competitively from like 8 to 18. And then I helped coach the swim team for a while. And then I became the head swim team coach for a little bit. And then I was always a lifeguard there. And I have taught anybody from a baby, I would do water babies, to I taught water aerobics as well. So I've done it all.
Oh my God.
All swim lessons. Like, if you need to know how to swim, I'm your girl.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. That's actually, you know, I mean, my daughter was in swimming and she did diving. She was terrible. Yeah. It was so, I was trying to be really supportive, but when she did all the belly flops, I'm like, oh. But it's fun watching your kids grow up like that and having your whole grandparents and everyone there.
Every swim meet, every event, you had a whole little group that would show up. So it was, you know, you felt very supportive or very supported and loved for sure.
Yeah, I think you still are, because I know
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm watching
them. That didn't just end. It was like, well, now you're an adult. See you later.
So I'm curious, when did you feel like you wanted to be a counselor in education?
Or? Oh, man, that was like a curveball. So growing up, again, super creative. So my mom said, do not go into education. She's like, hey, don't be a teacher. You have so much creativity. Like, you could do something so different. Like, just think about other options out there. So really and truly what I wanted to be was a graphic designer. Oh. And I did not get into graphic design school. You had to have all of your artwork up. I still think this is crazy. You had to have all these drawing skills, if you will. Like, I had to take figure drawing and all these different classes. And I'm not great at drawing like realistic things. I'm just not. But I can doodle. I can make digital artwork. I can do all these other things. I just can't draw realistic objects. So that really shot me in the foot, because that was what they based a lot of the admittance into graphic design school. So there were a handful of us that didn't get in to graphic design school within the college at K-State. And we're like, what are we going to do? So we talked to our advisor and they said, well, have you thought about advertising? Because you can do graphic design related things in advertising and you don't have to go through this whole process like you just did. So we said, okay. So several of us popped on over to the School of Advertising. And that's what I actually graduated with, was a degree in advertising and marketing. And I worked for a marketing company for oh, like a couple years before I decided that I wanted to go back to school. I liked my time there. I loved my boss. We worked for a great little company in Manhattan, Kansas that's still there, J&T Company. So I love, Jeff is still the boss there and he's amazing. And wow. The team that I worked with was great, but it was one of those things like, I did not feel fulfilled at the end of the day. Like my cup was not full. So I did kind of some soul searching and just like your first question today, like what brings you joy? That was kind of where the path I was headed down. What makes me feel good? What brings me joy? And everything revolved around working with kids. And I had done a lot of volunteering or thinking back to my swim team days when I'd coach my swim team kiddos and all of those kind of things. So I didn't think that I necessarily wanted to be a teacher. Nothing against teachers. They're amazing. I love them very much. They make the world go round. But
they sure do.
I've always rooted for the underdog. So I thought maybe counseling would be the way to go because you're really thinking about all students and their needs and how to best support them. So that's kind of where I ended up landing. So not your traditional pathway to school counseling.
That's really interesting because, well, think about all your marketing skills and advertising now with what you're doing. I mean,
so
I love that
you say that because no joke. So my mom had said, you know, you need to call the college and you need to talk to somebody there and like verify that this is really what you want to do because you're about to go back to school. This is a big jump. So I said, okay. So I called the College of Education and I talked to, I will not name this person, but I talked to a professor at the college and they were very much questioning if this was a good move for me. They were like, how does advertising and school counseling go together? Are you sure that this is what you want to do? And I mean, some of it was probably just double checking that I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
You know, I had told them I grew up in the school. My mom was a teacher, a counselor, a principal, a superintendent. Like, I know what I'm getting into. And I tried to convey that to them, but they were they just weren't very receptive.
Wow.
And now I think it's so funny because the two marry very well for me, you know? So they were a little, I would say, discouraging. And I was always kind of irritated with that. I was like, you know, if somebody wants to, you're counselors, right? Like counselors, like do your career thing. That's a big part of what we do.
Well, how did you get into it then? Did you go to that school or did you go somewhere else?
No, because I was living in Manhattan, so it was really easy just to go to school right there. Uh-huh. I did end up going there. It didn't matter because it was like, do you have the credentials? And yes, I did. So I was admitted and I went. So
wow. Even with the gatekeeper, they're telling you no.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
It all worked out. And for the best.
I'd love you to go back and say, I'm teacher, counselor of the year.
I know. I mean,
do they know you? I mean, have they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They do. And it's like, it's just interesting how the needle has moved, like from, well, we're not sure if this is a good fit for you to, oh, you're a national finalist for Counselor of the Year. So I'm going to go ahead and say maybe it was a good fit.
Well, you've been doing it now and you've been proving it. And you've started some programs and other things. What kinds of things have you been doing that kind of helped you get that final, you know, that award?
You know, you never know what they're looking for. So when you get nominated, you're nominated at the state level first. And if you are the counselor of the year for your state, then you get put into the big pool of all of the 50 state winners. And so all of the 50 state winners submit an application for counselor of the year. And I mean, it is lengthy. There is a lot to it.
Wow.
And you don't know what they're looking for. Like it just says, you know, how have you moved the needle? What does the data say? They're big about data, which I think is good because that tells a story of how, you know, you have impacted your students in your building. So a few things on my application that I think were maybe caught their eye potentially. I mean, this is just a guess. One is I started a program called Junior Coaches, which I was listening to a podcast that Dr. Becky Bailey was talking to some ladies on her Conscious Discipline podcast. And they were talking about a program that they had started that was called Junior Coaches. So I kind of took their idea and I ran with it at my school. So essentially, what you do is you take students who are struggling with peer conflict. And especially for me at recess, like I had some students who recess was a very difficult time. Mm-hmm. Kids were very competitive. They were not the nicest to other students while at recess. And I took those friends and I turned them into junior coaches. So through the junior coaches program, it's kind of a restorative practice. So instead of just disciplining them all the time, which was happening and it wasn't working, I thought we have to do something different. So I created a program partially using AI. Some of my ideas, some of ChatGPT's ideas, but I made a whole training manual and training program to run them through. Wow. And it was all on conflict resolution and how you can diffuse conflicts and help people problem solve. So those students are older, like fifth and sixth grade. And what they would do then after they had been trained is they would go out to recess with younger students. So second grade, first grade. Second grade is kind of prime because first grade kids still kind of really love each other. You know? And there's not as much conflict. But second grade is a good place for trial and error. So they would go out to recess and they would help kids problem solve through conflicts that they had. So they're using the skills that they've learned through the training process, and they're doing it somewhere that is safe, right? They're not going to be able to do that with other fifth graders because, well,
that's their peers.
It wouldn't feel right. So they were doing it with younger students, and then they switched from, you know, being problematic at recess to now they're leaders.
Wow. You know,
and kids are looking up to them and they're looking to them to see how they're modeling behavior on the playground. And even I did go to fifth grade recess with them, and they would say things, you know, as they're playing games, like, oh, no conflicts on the court. No. And they would say it jokingly, mm-hmm. but then that really became what they were doing. So we saw a huge shift in their behavior. Huh. And they were not getting in trouble as often. And one didn't get in trouble anymore, you know, after all of this started.
That's so cool.
It was really great. But it just goes to show that a lot of times these kids don't have the skills. And so if we give them the skills instead of punishing them and disciplining them, that it can really change the outcome. So
that's so cool. Because, I mean, we need this more now than ever.
No.
I mean, because kids are conflicted, not just conflict. They don't know really what to do because they want to be, you know, belong and fit in and all of those things. And they don't want to upset anybody, but they might say something or do something that does, and they don't know how to resolve it. Is that kind Absolutely. Of what happens?
Oh, yeah. I would agree. And it's just, you know, it's a different world than even when I was growing up. And we don't always have, you know, growing up in a small community, oh my gosh, like the human skills you learn there because you're all about community. So you do so much for others and you connect and I don't know if that happens as often. It doesn't matter what community you're in. I don't know.
I like this. I just like to see this program here because I worked at the district level and saw the kids that, you know, all different ages. And they were so smart and so sweet, there was problems. And usually it was an adult that had to, you know, do something. But it's just nice when they can all learn those skills.
It is. And the only part that gets tricky sometimes is every once in a while you'll have, and I will say, doesn't really happen at my building. My teachers are pretty, they get it. They're awesome. I have the best staff in the world, and I will fight anyone on this. Right. So, but sometimes you will get pushback from teachers, and they'll say, "Well, these students have been a problem and their behavior is an issue. So now why are they getting rewarded?
Right.
And it's,
you're not giving them a chance.
I mean, I guess in a sense it is a reward, but it's also they are learning skills and it's a skill, you know, deficit that they were up against. And now they're doing great. So I don't, you know, I really haven't run into that at my school, but other schools where they've taken, because I have a training man and I just let people have it because I want more people to be able to do this at their schools. And people have run into that as an issue where they, you know,
a little bit of staff
pushback. But, you know, I also get it. I understand where they're coming from, but it's just a very different way of thinking about student needs and discipline. So
I like that because everybody needs a second chance.
Absolutely.
And kids, there are bullies, but then there are, we know that.
Yeah.
But if there's a way you can address it when they're young, gosh, we could hopefully, you know, bring them back into society as someone you want to be around, you know?
And overcome those obstacles later and know how to handle. I mean, and who doesn't need conflict resolution training?
Well, I know that sometimes I'm like, just sometimes with certain people, I have to have tools just to know how to handle it, you know, because you don't know. And so that's really wonderful. Yeah. And then you did another one.
Paws and claws.
Yeah. What is that?
Okay. That is like the cutest thing ever that really blew up. We had some students at school that, let's just say, didn't love school, but they loved Piper, the therapy. So they wanted to build her a doghouse. They wanted to make a dog bed for her. They wanted to do all of these things. And so their teacher did something that was really cool to kind of entice them to do schoolwork. She started doing Piper math and Piper reading, AKA she would make all of their math about Piper had 4 dog bones and she ate 2. How many dog bones? You know, so she would do all of these things. And then she asked, can we, you know, they want to build some of these things. Can they do it? And I was like, sure. So we kind of formed a group and it started out just creating things for Piper, our therapy dog. But we had a lot of different social skills embedded into it. And these were skills that they needed too. So there were problem-solving skills, social skills, just creativity, deep-level thinking. Their first thing that they did was create a Halloween costume for her. And I mean, just deciding that was problematic, right? You have different people in the group that, you know, we want her to be this and I want her to be that. And we would walk through those problems ahead of time so that they kind of knew how to handle them. And it worked out really well because our group did not have a lot of problems because we front loaded those skills before we even got there, which was awesome. But she ended up being a hot dog that year for Halloween. And I mean, it was awesome. Like the students, they were third graders and they had to learn. They learned how to sew to make the costume.
Oh,
they
made
their own hot dog pattern. And really, it was the other teacher, Mrs. Harson, and I, we were the guides on the side, right? We're there to support, but the kids really drove their own learning. And then once we did a few things with Piper, they thought, well, what about other dogs? Like Piper is so loved in our building. What about dogs who are not, or pets who are not as loved?
Oh.
So they thought, what could we do for our community? And I said, we'll call the Humane Society and ask. And they're like, us? And I was like, this is your project.
Wow.
So I would be there for support, but I really had them do all of the hard things. They would call the Humane Society. They would ask, what do you need? And I remember the first conversation they had with the Humane Society, they got off the phone and like, okay, we know what we're doing. And I'm like, great, what is it? And they're like, we are going to build enrichment toys. And I said, okay, cool. What's that? We don't know. I said, all right, well, this is a starting point. So I said, let's figure out. So there was research involved. They had to decide together what they were going to build. And they ended up deciding on something called a snuffle mat. Basically like they had to figure out how to build it too. So it is like a sink mat with fleece that we would cut and tie. And it kind of emulates grass. and you hide little treats or you can have their food in there. But the reason it's really good for dogs is I learned this from the Paws and Claws research team. because they have to kind of forage and sniff for the treats, and that kind of wears them out. So they're expending a lot of mental energy to find all the treats. And so for dogs who are in shelters, that's really good for them because they, you know, when it's cold like today, they might not get out and run a whole lot, or there might be days that they're indoors, or a lot of times you are probably inside more than outside. So it's a great way for them to burn off some energy while, you know, being contained in the shelter. So
do you have a video of that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So
That would be so cute.
On my website. Yeah. There's like a whole news clip of it that the news from Topeka came out, and the students were on the Good Kids segment because they were doing really good things.
Oh my gosh.
It kind of spiraled even further. So we had written a grant to do that, and our grant money was running out. And I had said, well, the money's running out, so I guess we're done. And they threw a fit, not an actual fit, but they were like, what? No. So how can we solve this? And one of the kids on his own said, have you heard of Tom's Shoes? And I said, yeah, I've had Tom's Shoes.
Yeah.
I said, why? And he said, well, my mom has Tom's. And when she buys a pair of Tom's, then Tom's donates shoes to people that need shoes. And I said, okay, I see where you're going. He said, could we make snuffle mats and sell them? So could we sell one? And for everyone we sell, we donate. So that way we're getting money back.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So I was like, this is genius. I said, absolutely. So we sold them for a while. We haven't sold any in a minute, but we were selling them all over the place. We sent them to Wyoming. We sent them to New Jersey. We sent them to Western Kansas. I mean, we sent them all over the place, and it was awesome. So it kept our little group afloat. And then we were able to donate the goods to the Humane Society. So
that is amazing. Third graders.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. So that probably is the reason why you got that finalist. You know, that I can't even imagine what all the other school counselors are doing, but this is like so darling, so cute. Both of them.
It has been so fun. And I haven't run Paws and Claws this year. It's usually something we start now. So we'll get ready to rock it out again. But it's the most fun thing to do. Like, this brings me joy because watching them light up and figure out what they're going to make and how they're going to make and how much it's going to cost. There's always obstacles and challenges in the way, but just seeing them overcome those is so rewarding. And they've done all kinds. I mean, they've ran bake sales to generate more funds so that we can give back to the Humane Society, but also fund our projects. So they're always thinking of really great things to do. I'm always so impressed by what kids will do when they are engaged in the learning.
And invested.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like they're little entrepreneurs too.
They are. Wow. It is awesome.
It's so cool. Well, there's so many more things I want to talk about with you.
Sure.
But I definitely want to get into, well, one is the AI integration, because everybody's talking about it, but what
is
that?
Thing.
Yeah. And I was lucky to review some of the things you're doing for your book. And I'm going, that idea for school counselors is amazing, because you can now use your examples of what you've done.
Right.
And share them. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, it's probably been 3 years ago now. I was at a conference in Kansas, the MACE conference, which is great. But Holly Clark was the keynote speaker.
Oh,
there.
I love Holly. Yeah.
And I'd never met Holly before. And I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot believe Holly Clark will be in Kansas. You know, I was like, this is insane.
Oh, she's,
so I was like, I will be
there. A good person.
She's amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The things I have learned from her. Oh, top notch. But I went to her keynote, and her prediction for the future was in the future, all students will have a tutor that is an AI chatbot. Yeah. And I thought, oh, so cool. And so she had showed us a few examples using school AI of how you can create those chatbots with guardrails. So we don't have to worry about kids doing something inappropriate or not safe. And, you know, she showed us how easy it was to make one. And I thought, wow. So if she can make one, you know, if we can make them for academics, and she said they're completely customizable, why can't we do that for social emotional learning, right? Yeah. And so I thought, how can we do this in a way that's safe, ethical, but also promotes skill building? Because that's, and that is something that a lot of people in AI are talking about right now, is skill building. And, you know, if you think about academic skills, you always, I mean, forever, we have had ways to help kids outside of school build more skills or get more reps in even during the school day. You know, anything from a flashcard to, you know, Reflex or IXL, they have access to these other tools that can get more reps in for whatever academic skill they're trying to learn.
Yeah.
Social emotional learning, that's hard. We really, maybe you could send a, this is a bad word, a worksheet with them, you know, for more practice. But, you know, unless they're working with you one-on-one or in a group, there hasn't always been a way to get more reps in. And we know the more reps of a skill you get in, the better you become. So I was curious about how I could do this. And I had a student who was like sweetest kid in the whole world, but was struggling with holding conversations with friends, like could approach people and introduce herself and say hi, but then like couldn't keep the conversation flowing. And so she had come to me and had said, you know, I really want help with this. And so we were doing all the traditional counseling things. We were role-playing with, you know, puppets, and then we were role-playing together. And she would do okay, you know, well in the role-play in one-on-one, but then when she would get out with the friends, it just wasn't sticking. And she had said, this was really important to her. And she, you know, she said, I want to get better at this. Is what can I do? Like seeing you once a week is good, but I'm ready to make some moves on this. And so I had chatted with her mom and I said, I've got this crazy idea. Would you be open to her practicing with a chatbot? And her mom was like, what? And I said, well, I'll send it to you and you can review. And if you think it's too crazy or you don't like it, then let's not do it, but you know, I'll send it with you and you can kind of see if that's something that she'd like to try. And so we built a little chatbot that had guardrails on so she couldn't get off topic. But the other thing is, you know, she would practice the conversation with it, but you would get immediate feedback. So it would say something like, yeah, that's great that you asked about volleyball, but maybe ask about, you know, how the last volleyball game went or what position they are playing in volleyball. And it would give her tips, which was awesome. And she would get that real-time feedback, which I think is fantastic. And again, had to have parent support, obviously. I'm not going to send this home. And I'm still working with them and monitoring what's going on to make sure that the conversations are safe and nothing is alarming. Luckily, nothing was in this case, but she was just practicing and getting extra reps in to get better at her conversation skills. So
how'd it go?
She liked it. It's an unbiased, I mean, it's a robot. And we went over that, you know, many, many times. This is not a person and this is just to help you. And it was something that was, it wasn't something I wanted her to use forever, but, you know, for a few weeks to just get some more reps in, go for it. And so you can always pause those or turn them off, you know, if you didn't want them to continue use and they wouldn't have access to them. But she did enjoy it because it would just give her that feedback. And it wasn't me giving feedback. I think even though I try my best to be, you know, non-judgmental and unbiased, I'm still a human, right? And she could take me as being judgmental, like, well, I really meant this, or why did she say it this way? You know, and with that, it's just practice that you get with immediate feedback and you can just take it as it is.
In your book, you're giving lots of different strategies.
Yes.
Do you share that story also?
Yeah, that is in the book. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
In the book with lots of different ways that you can integrate AI into counseling and your social work practices for the most part. There's like full on chat, like different tools in the back with different ways that you can utilize those different tools. So I've been mostly talking about school AI with the chatbots like right now, but then there's other tools that I like to use as well.
Yeah, I've tried all of them.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. You know, I have a children's book I'm trying to.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. But
you're on the right track with that.
I know. But the thing that's hard for parents and teachers that haven't really gone in and are fearful of what's going to happen. How do you get them to take that next step? So like I hear what you did with the parent for that child. But what if there's resistance? What do you do?
I think in those cases, if there is resistance, even, you know, you've let them, I think transparency is best, you know, so, hey, we're thinking about this. Would you like to try it first? And then, you know, and I tell the parents, see if you can break it. Put some stuff in there that's not kosher, right? Not good. And if you can break it or, you know, but they'll see that if you say something that's not appropriate, like, I'm going to punch my friend, you know, it will bounce you back in and it will say, I understand you're feeling upset about, you know, what happened with your friend. But you know, you can't punch somebody and then like, let's bring it, it brings it back to the topic. So it won't let you do or say something. And then you get, I get the flag in the back end that said that they were thinking about harming a friend. And I tell parents too, that I'm monitoring it the whole time. I think that part is crucial. Yeah. So it's not just like, hey, here's a tool. We're going to let your kid use it, but we can't see, read, or respond to anything that they do. This is something where the HAIH theory or method, I guess, the human AI human. So you've got two human touch points. So you've got human on the front where you are training the student how to use it. You're letting them know, hey, this is how we can utilize this tool. It's not a human. It's a robot, kind of going through all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then you let them practice in the middle and then you're reviewing on the back end. So you always have those two human touch points, which I think if you're using it for social emotional learning, you have to have it that way. And you have to kind of have a checks and balances. So if it's a student that you only see once a week, but you know they're practicing it, you should probably be checking it every day to make sure things are okay, you know, and checking those alerts. And like I said, with this kiddo, it wasn't a problem. It was, things worked out well, but also having balance with it. You know, you don't want somebody completely relying on this for support or something like that. So, you know, I kind of talked to the parents about if they'd like to practice, maybe practice for 10 minutes in the evening or practice, you know, you don't want them on this for 30 minutes, an hour. I mean, I think just small reps is what you need. And they could practice at school too, if they wanted, and they were, which tells me that they liked it and they were finding it helpful. But I think it is a delicate balance and you really have to think, what are your intentions and what is the impact? And that has to drive your thinking in this AI world, because if you're just using it for AI's sake or for tech's sake, probably not the best solution. But if you're thinking this is going to help a student feel successful, feel more confident, feel able to make friends, that is a lot of impact, because we know how social, I mean, we're all social beings. So if you've got a friend at school, that can make all the difference. And so that's kind of where my mind goes when I think about how we're using it.
This is wonderful. I know that you've been doing presentations.
Yes.
And I did peek in a few times. And, you know, I see you and your mom, too, with your firefly wings and everything. I mean, what I see is that people need to hear your stories and your strategies. So the way you do it makes it so easy to understand. And that's why, I mean, I can see why you were school counselor of the year finalist, but I also see that more and more people are going to want to get your information. So I hope they if you have presentations coming, we can put them up. If when your book comes out, which might be for some time, because that's how long it takes to publish. But
no, it's a minute.
But the anything you put up, I anything we can share out, I think people will, it'll help them because you really have put a lot of thought into this on how to make it work.
I think that's the key is you it's not just a, ooh, I went to a conference, I can make a chat bot in 5 minutes, I'm going to push it out. It really is that, like I said, that intention behind it. But I also, when I do present and I do talk about AI, I try to make it approachable. I don't want people to think that you can't do these things. You know, I want you to understand you can do this too, but you've got to have, you know, balance and ethics and safety in there too.
I'm trying to figure if that's going to be the quote that I'm going to use because I love that. Ethics and safety too. This has been wonderful. Is there anything else you want to share that we didn't talk about?
Oh my gosh. I have just had so much fun. Anytime I hang out with you.
I know. I have that with you. I see you and I you know how you light up when you see somebody?
Yes.
That's how it is. And so I am so, this has been just really wonderful, Hannah. I think
thank
that.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, anytime. I wish I could give you some of my warmth right now.
We'll do virtual hugs. Virtual hugs.
Virtual hug. Virtual hug. Oh, I hope everyone enjoys our conversation because there's a lot about you that I think people need to know and follow you. Oh, no, I love it. What's the best way they can contact you?
Oh, probably just through email, hannahmickedu@gmail.com, or you can find me on the socials. It's also hannahmickedu.
That's perfect. I've been looking forward to it. So it was wonderful. And I learned more things about you I didn't know. So this was perfect. Thank you so much, Hannah.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Hannah Campbell Mick. I met Hannah a year ago after I had been working with her mom, Jerry Campbell. So when I started talking with Hannah, I knew it. This is a special family. So I wanted to learn more about Hannah's story, and I was so happy on the podcast when she shared about the snuffle mats and the junior coaching projects that she showcased when she was a finalist for School Counselor of the Year. It was great that she helped create the blog post that accompanies this podcast on my website, barbarabray.net. Make sure you follow Hannah Campbell Mick and share this podcast and the blog post about her story with your friends. Thanks again for listening. Keep sharing your story. And please stay safe and be well.